It's Cap and Haw.
Another big jolt there. Now he's got the puck. He couldn't get rid of it. Here's a wrap around the score. Rivero, Senator Wilson. He's gone. Here's Fisher looking to center. Open shot. What a play. Mike Fisher put it across. It was tapped home, I believe, Forsberg. And the Predators have two goals in 12 seconds.
The three goals in the hurry, is that on the goalie? Is that on the defense? And as your thought process changed?
No, I'm not blaming the goalie. I mean, the goalies extend their sticks, open side play. The other one makes a nice play on the power play goal. The other one, open side play. So, not the goalie at all.
Do you expect to stick with Scott Darling for game six?
We'll talk about it, but he did everything right. He was fine.
Courtesy Comcast Sportsnet. Joel Quenneville after that flurry of goals that we heard.
Yeah, and that's when you hear him
3 minutes and 14 seconds, 2 and 12 seconds.
Yeah, when you hear him say that, Cap, I mean, it makes you believe that he's going to stick with Scott Darling. That was Joel Quenneville talking in the background.
It was.
He's over my shoulder.
Don't know where that was coming from.
He's everywhere. I would be surprised if he goes back to Corey Crawford. There are two things in play here. I mean, what do you think they will do and what do you think they should do? And it's not – this is the wrong series to say you shouldn't second-guess Joel Quenneville, because this is an unorthodox series if you ever have had one. I cannot remember a playoff series this unusual in that the goaltender issue was one that came up after every game.
By the way, do you know that the Predators, you had this in your column, I think, they were 0-6 in elimination games at home. Did you also know that over the past two seasons, Shea Weber has missed 9 games? They were 1-8 in games that he had missed and then won last night. So
they had a lot of things that are working against them last night historically, and they just ignored it all. And you have to give them credit. Whatever they did and said or whatever they mustered up between the second and third periods, that's the team that is dangerous. That's the team that played so well for such a long period of time in the regular season. That's a team you don't want to see show up in Chicago.
Right.
You want to knock them out because that's a good hockey team.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. We're hoping to talk to Steve Conroy here in a little bit. Speaking of Michael Roosevelt, Dan in Elgin joins the fun. Hey, Daniel, what's going on there, Cookie?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, if one, I love the Hawks. I watch them all the time. Quenneville's great. I'm not going to question anything that guy does when you bring two cups home in 4 years, whatever. But if one of you guys ever talk to him, can you possibly ask him why in the hell they would keep a guy like Roosevelt on that team? I mean, he may be a nice guy, but that guy, if you watch game after game, he had one good game the other day.
Dan, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Last night.
And if you look in the third period, right out of the box, it all started with him not being able to clear a puck, and this he's indecisive. I just don't see him. Why is he on that team?
Well, Dan, he did not play well last night. Maybe that was one of the guys you could see the physical and mental toll from the previous game.
I see it game after game.
No, you don't see it game after game, because if you're fair and objective, you saw the previous two games, Michael Roosevelt was pretty good.
In the last two games, Dan, Michael Roosevelt was outstanding, especially the triple overtime game. He played really well.
Games 3 and 4.
Excellent.
But if you go back over numerous games, I mean, that guy is not a real contributor. I mean, he really isn't. I mean, I just don't see
but
that.
But they only have – who? Let me ask you a question. You think you can get by in an entire playoff run with Keith, Seabrook, Oduya, Jalmerson, and that's it?
No, but, can you honestly tell me that anyone else in the NHL would take a guy like Roosevelt? I'm telling you, there's got to be somebody better than him.
Dan, in a salary cap environment, you can't afford to have as many great guys as we'd like to have. TVR would be playing. He's hurt. They had to move Letty because of salary. Who are you going to play?
He's your fifth D-man. I mean, how many teams have guys who are their fifth defenseman that they feel really good about every single night out? No, there's going to be inconsistency that's inherent with
that
role.
He's going to have to give you some minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks,
I don't
Dan.
Know. I just don't see that guy being really.
He won't be here next year.
He's easy to pick on. Thanks,
okay,
Dan.
Okay, good. Well, that's the best news I've heard all day. Thanks.
There you
guys.
Go. See you. Have a good weekend. Take care. 312-235-2525. We've got callers in other sports, but let's get another hockey call, then we'll move. Rob in Norridge. Hey, Rob, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Rob.
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
I'm like a Larry Brown of Bulls fans, man. I'm like striving for perfection in an imperfect game. And, you know, it's been like throughout this whole season that we do have like our times where we have scoring droughts. And pretty much what I've been seeing this whole playoffs is pretty much like a lack of post defense. I mean, really, it's not like the Bulls basketball that I'm used to seeing anymore, you know. I'm used to, you know, we're playing like teams, kind of like an Atlanta Hawks right now. But right now, I mean, it just feels like, you know, it's not Derrick Rose's team anymore per se. I'm not saying that it isn't now because he's been playing good. But we're used to playing without him playing as a team within the past few years. And we're used to being like one of the best defensive teams out there. Not saying that we are, but you can see in games right now that we haven't really been playing our best game.
Well, that's true. That's true, Rob. But in the double overtime, second overtime last night, what won the game ultimately? There were four defensive stops. Then they had four steals in the second overtime. That was an old-fashioned time.
And you know where it got started? Jimmy Butler jumped in the passing lane, got a pick for a dunk.
No.
Gave him just a two-point lead, but it changed momentum, and next thing you know, they're up eight.
Now, can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
Do you trust, if we have a scoring drought against Cleveland in the next round, do you trust that we can come back from that, even if it's like a 10-point or 12-point?
That's difficult. That's a difficult one because you step up in class, and I don't know that you can have the kind of letdowns over a sustained period of time against the Cavaliers. So, no.
Rob, thanks,
I'd
man.
I'd be skeptical, Rob.
Appreciate it. All right, Steve Conroy is going to join us next.
You fell for the Hawks, didn't you?
Yeah.
You saw Hawks/Bulls question, and you thought Blackhawks, Bulls, all right.
Because other ones were Bulls,
yeah.
Cubs.
Yeah, and you thought, and he meant Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And you were thinking Blackhawks.
I said to Mike, I saw Hawks. I didn't know it was Atlanta.
I thought the same thing. I thought, wait, he's talking, we're going to talk Kyle Korver here?
So. What? Anyway, we will get into the Bulls, but we're going to talk to Steve Conroy first, and then we're going to get into the White Sox because it got ugly there last night.
Yeah.
Something's got to be done with Yordano Ventura. He's an idiot. Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. Apt, ABT, apt.com, the website. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro. Best customer service you'll ever get. App pleasing people since 1936. By the way, if you're out to lunch today and you see Yordano Ventura walking down Michigan Avenue, maybe getting a quick little bite, just say, hey, man, you got great stuff. You're wicked strong. You are really good. But don't be such a clown on the field.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're encouraging people to do that. I thought you were going to tell people to punch him in the face.
No.
Okay.
Just say, hey, man.
No advocating violence here.
Exceptionally talented, but don't act like such a clown. Come on. You're better than that. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
It's one of those situations where you definitely want to, win game six in our building. Behind our fans, we have a great situation. I think if you told us we'd be up 3-2, heading back to our building for game six, we'd be excited about that, and we take that at the beginning of the series. So, you know, we still feel we're in a good situation, and, we'll learn from this one, move on, try to get as much rest as possible, and be ready come Saturday.
There he is, 88, Patrick Kane, after the game last night. He's right. If you'd said you'll be up 3-2 going back to Chicago for game six, you'd have taken it. But
yeah.
When you have a closeout game, you want to win it.
You do. Obviously, he had a nice pass, didn't he? Wasn't that just sweet?
Sweet. Oh. Cap and Hawk continues on WGN Plus and watch live on Comcast Sportsnet, where you also find Steve Conroy alongside Pat Boyle and Jamal Mayers on the coverage on CSN of Blackhawks Preds and hopefully the next round, Blackhawks and whoever. Steve joins us now. Good morning, Steve. Tough one last night. Hawks lose. They give up 3 in 3.5 minutes and fall behind, breaks a 1-1 tie. What was your take on Scott Darling last night in the game?
Well, I don't think the loss is on him. I thought, Dave, that he played really well. I mean, he gave his team a chance to win. When you think about how Nashville was coming on in the second period, especially the latter half of the second period, I thought he made some real big saves. He made some key saves and, you know, just a couple of breakdowns. And unfortunately, it was right at the start of the third period. And you can't fault him on the wraparound because that ends up going off of Duncan Keithen into the net. And then the next goal is a power play goal. You know, yeah, maybe he could have been able to stop that, but I don't know how Colin Wilson had so much room in front of Darling in the first place. And then the third goal in about 2.5 minutes was just a 2-on-1, and it's a 50-foot pass, and it's a one-timer, and, you know, maybe he gets a piece of it. He didn't. So, no, I'm not going to hang it on him, and I think the players know that they played about a period and a half of real good hockey, and then the latter half of the second, not so good, and then the third, boy, when you play catch-up against Nashville, they can really make you pay because there's some speed there. They've got some quick guys up front, and they can expose any mistakes you make.
Steve, we've talked a lot about the wraparound goal by James Neal, 47 seconds into the third period. From your perspective and vantage point, just so people can understand what Joe Quenneville was referring to and what – you know, where the breakdown really happened, because that was such an important play, and it wasn't necessarily Scott Darling's fault, but that was the goal that changed everything. How did you see that unfold, and who were the guys that when they watched the tape are going to say, okay, that guy is responsible?
Well, you know what? You're right, David. You know, he talked about the stick, and I think he was referring to the stick, Duncan Keith, and he could have just poke-checked that puck off the stick before it even – you know, came from behind the goal line. So what happened, you know, and I went back and watched it, and we kind of broke it down a little bit in the postgame show. Dunk's stick, I think, accidentally got caught on the post. I think he wanted to jab at the puck, but he wanted to seal off the post because he realized that's where the wraparound was coming from. And then he kind of caught the inside of the post with his stick. So now you can't jab at the puck. Because literally, Duncan could have got to the puck before it came out, you know, to the side of the net, to the front of the net. It was still in behind the goal line. He could have poke checked him with one hand, and you know, play is killed, play is dead. So now he jams his stick on the post, and now he gets his foot turned sideways, and the puck ends up going off the outside of the left foot of Dunks and in the net. But I'm going to back it up a little farther. That was a real good shift, again, by Victor Stahlberg. How many times have we said that? He had two really big hits. Blackhawks, I want to say 10, 15 seconds before the goal, we were outside our blue line. We just couldn't get it any farther. They bring it back in. I think Neal was on a change. We tried to put it around the boards. Roosevelt couldn't get it. Neal gets it and just fires it towards the net. And that's where Stahlberg makes a real good play. I think he gloves the puck down. He controls the puck. And then he shields it because there was two Blackhawks in his hip pocket. And he kept control of the puck, and he just nudged it to Neal, who after he had kept it in, just kept his momentum, came flying around the net. Now Duncan makes that mad dash from Stahlberg to try and kill the play. And like I said, I think what happened is he got his stick stuck on the post because he was trying to seal the post, but he could still poke that puck before it came out front, and that was the goal. So you know what? On most goals, you'll find that there's two or three breakdowns. And certainly that none of that was on Scott Darling at all, because I even think Neal didn't even wrap it around. I think he let go of the puck while he was still behind the goal line. It just banked in off the skate of Duncan Keith.
We're talking to Steve Conroy from Comcast Sports, that former Blackhawks defenseman. Okay, so I just named you head coach for the night. Who are you starting in net?
Well, we kind of talked about this last night, and I was in the minority, but here's my reasoning. I think maybe you should go back to Corey Crawford, and not because Scott Darling lost you that game, but my thinking was, I think had they closed out the Nashville Predators in five games, won that game last night in Nashville, I'm pretty sure your starting goaltender would have been Corey Crawford against the St. Louis Blues or against the Minnesota Wild, you know, whoever comes out of that other Central Division matchup. So, you know, I know it's putting a lot of pressure on Corey, and maybe it looks like you're pointing the finger at Scott, but that's certainly not the case, because I go back to the first game when Corey got pulled, and maybe one soft goal in that, you know, first period when they went down 3-0, But they pulled him, and he got a response from the team, and that's what coaches do sometimes when they pull goaltenders. And so maybe, you know, that's the kind of response you're looking for. And I guess the danger there is if you do put Corey in and he lets a couple of soft ones in the first period, now you're in a real pickle, and I certainly understand that. But my gut would be, I know this isn't on Scotty, go back to the guy who basically played a real strong season for you from game one to game 82. I know there's a couple injuries in between, but he was the go-to guy the whole time. He won you a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. Last year he got you within a goal of the Stanley Cup Finals. So he's been there. He's done that. And listen, Scott Darling's been absolutely fantastic. A great story, better goaltender. But my feeling is, go back to the guy who got you to the dance, and that's Corey Crawford.
I can't argue with anything you said, Steve. I think that makes a lot of sense. Even though it would come off as a punitive thing, it's not. I think it's more of a forward thinking thing, looking down the road, and that would be the move that I would make as well. When you talk about Joel Quenneville coming off of losses, though, he has been known to juggle things other than the goaltender. So when you look at the lineup, when you look at what they didn't get last night and what they might get from guys who were healthy scratches, do you anticipate any other moves, like perhaps getting Teuvo Teravainen back involved?
Yeah, well, you know what? Just judging from the game last night, Kimmo Timonen, I thought, had a real good game four. But even over, you know, we played almost two hockey games in that game, the two full overtime periods plus a minute, he still only got about 12.5-13 minutes of ice time. Last night, I think it was 8.5-9 minutes. So, you know, there's not a big trust factor there. And I don't know if you can remember, but it was Kimmo who turned the puck over in our zone about midway through the second period. Brent Seabrook ends up having to take a penalty. We were running around a lot. They got some momentum off that. They got some momentum off that next power play when Seabrook was in the penalty box, although they didn't score. So, you know, I would think maybe one of the defensemen, and it's probably going to be, I would think, Kimmo Timonen. And I don't know whether it's David Rundblad who slots in or it's Kyle Komiski, but I think one of those two guys might see the next game. And then up front, again, after a really strong game four against the Nashville Predators where Antoine Vermette, you know, scored a goal, I didn't think he played as well last night. And I don't think that's worthy of him getting yanked out of the lineup, but I think you're right. I think they'll try and find a spot for Teuvo. And let's not forget about Joachim Nordstrom, who, when he's been in there, he's been effective because he gets on the body. He doesn't have the greatest hands in the world, but he's a really fast guy. And last night, I really noticed the speed. And maybe it was a fatigue factor, but the speed of the Nashville Predators from about the midway point of the game on, I think that was a real big factor in their favor. And you want to get some speed in the lineup, you know, Nordstrom and Teuvo Teravainen are certainly two guys who provide that.
Hey, we appreciate you taking time for us. Coach Q speaks at 1:30 today, so we'll see how the changes come about. Thanks again.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Cap, David, you have a great day. Thanks.
See you at the office. Bye-bye.
Yep.
There he is, Steve Conroy from CSN Chicago.
Yeah, they do a great job with Pat Boyle and Jamal Mares. They have great insight before the game, during the game, after the game. But it does speak to just how much drama there has been around the goaltending situation, that it's a situation that several times after games this series, they've gone to Pat and Steve and Jamal and had them interpret what Joel Quenneville said.
Like, and they got different perspectives.
Exactly. Let's guess what Joel's going to do. So let's see what they're going to do. That's great.
We've asked Eddie. We've asked Steve. You and I have opined what we would do. Mm-hmm. What do you think Joel will do?
I think he's going to stick with Darling. I think he's going to play according to his gut. It has served him well. He's going to defend the goalie from the goals that were scored last night and say this is a guy that stands tall at home, is good in this rink, and he's going to be good tomorrow night and throw all the confidence in Scott Darling. That's what I expect to happen. That's not what I would do, but that's what I expect to happen.
All right, 312-235-2525. We're moving to the Bulls. They're next on Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Rose at the free throw line. In the air. Missed it.
Missed a goddamn free throw, but Seriously.
That was D. Rose after the game. Everybody all giggly because the Bulls won it in double overtime.
Got a little Brian Price in him.
He misses that second free throw and they lose, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. He had 34 on the night in 48 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't a free throw performance that left you with a lot of confidence, but they got it done. They pulled it out, and they came back, and yet it wasn't the biggest comeback in the NBA last night. How about that?
Golden State, I'm watching some of that game. I'm trying to keep my eyes open. I'm, like, fighting it. They're 20 down on my wife's. This game's over. Can we go to bed? I'm like, in a second. And then all of a sudden, here they come. Biggest comeback in the history of the franchise.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch Golden State play. And even Steph Curry was surprised at what happened. And it's also fun to watch these NBA playoffs this year with a sense of what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the Bulls continue to play like this? What if Gasol? Last season, it wasn't what if. It was when. When's it over? Can it stop already? Are they going to underachieve against the Wizards? Enough. You know, you wanted them to almost go away because the overachieving, try-hard Bulls that lived off defensive, possessions and stops and
You know who got very little time last night?
It was fun, but that you knew they weren't going anywhere. This team, you don't know that.
I think they can beat Cleveland. I really do. Turnovers are an issue.
Today you do. Today. What if they lay an egg Saturday night?
I said that the other day. I thought they could beat them. I do.
I do think they can. I don't know. I don't know if they will, but I think they can.
You know who's become persona non grata now that Derek's playing more minutes? Aaron Brooks. Saw 9 minutes.
Last night I think that's game by game though, Cap. I mean, there was I forget the game. Was it the second game too? Aaron Brooks had a very good showing. I wouldn't say persona non grata. You're going to need him.
Oh, you will. But listen to the minutes last night. Dunleavy played 29:41. Gasol played 41:08. Noah played 45:43. Rose played 48:13. Butler played 53:01. Snell played 26:59. 29:09 for Gibson. 6:19 for Heinrich. And 9:47 for Brooks.
Well,
heavy minutes.
On a day,
playoffs,
in a game, it's a playoffs, and in a game where Derrick Rose is feeling it to that extent, scores 34 points, you don't want more than maybe 9 minutes out of Aaron Brooks. If Derrick Rose feels good wind-wise, keep him going because he's not feeling soreness.
He said this morning, or I heard it this morning, he said after the game last night, I was getting winded, I just played through it. Love to hear that.
You like to hear that. It's more than I'm going to rest my body. I'm worried about my next business meeting when I'm, when my kid's graduating from high school.
Kid's graduation.
That seems like such a long time ago now.
Hopefully,
and
never
again,
hear
what
again.
Is it all along? When he plays like that, all that other stuff is rendered useless, irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
All right, Mark in Algonquin wants to talk some Bulls with us. 312-235-2525. Mark, good morning. What's going on there, Cookie?
Hey, Mark.
Morning, gentlemen. Hey, two quick points for you. One, big Bulls fan, but I can't see him beating LeBron 4 out of 7 times. I'll take their victory over ours. I think they're kind of soft, and I don't take too much excitement in beating Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee's like they're not that good, so I don't see the excitement about it.
Well, Mark, how good are the Celtics?
Oh, exactly, but I don't think Cleveland should take that much. Cleveland's bored. They want the Bulls. LeBron. Bring on Joakim Noah. That was my point. Is Noah runs his mouth so much, but he stinks. He can't make a layup. He can't shoot. He tries hard, but I'm tired of the try hard thing. But if he's going to be your mouthpiece going against Cleveland and talking smack and getting LeBron all hyped up, which is stupid to begin with, he can't back it up. And the rest of his teammates are just going to take the brunt of his force. And I just think Cleveland's a better team. And I hate to say it, but look at on paper, I think the Bulls lose in 5. Thanks,
oh,
guys.
I think you're out of your mind,
five,
Mark. Out of your mind.
Thanks for the phone call.
I'm not saying they're going to win it. But I think they can.
Here's the thing. It's not the Cleveland Heat. It's not. And I think that's the one thing you think. You see LeBron, and LeBron is the unstoppable force, and I have tons of credit or respect for what he's done. And But this isn't the Miami Heat team. I know they're more vulnerable than any of the Miami teams that the Bulls played in the
playoffs. Okay, but they will have the two best players on the floor.
I don't know about that, Cap.
Kyrie Irving and LeBron James are better than anybody the Bulls have.
Okay. Derrick Rose at his best, Kyrie Irving at his best.
Kyrie Irving.
I don't know about that, Cap. I don't know. I mean, I can see why you would say that, but I don't know that it necessarily. Let's just say this, okay? The Bulls have a counter, have an answer.
Yeah.
They're at least at that, they cancel each other off. Out. Kyrie Irving and Derrick Rose, if they're both on, they both.
It's a great battle.
Okay. The advantage goes to the Cavs and LeBron versus anybody. Jimmy Butler, as good as he is, come on. I mean, it's LeBron James. The difference is, though, the depth. It's the great basketball experiment again. Remember the Heat team? It was the big three versus the team and the chemistry and the defensive mentality. Well, to some degree, that is going to be at play here. The Cavs have their big three, Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love. And the Bulls have much more, I think, better depth, especially if you get Mirotić back in this series. And
Bulls have better depth, better size, but
especially inside. Interior depth could be the difference in that series.
The two best pure scorers on the court, not even close.
Yeah, but you're not playing. It's not a Gus Macker tournament.
No, I don't disagree. Nice reference.
Gus Macker?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, everyone
Mike
knows Gus
has
Macker,
no idea
right?
what Gus
no?
Macker is.
Not at all. But I wanted to say something, though. But what that caller said about Joakim Noah, I was saying it in Haw's ear. He had 2 points last night. He has absolutely no offensive presence. It's been like that for the majority of the year, but
point center
with the Cavs, you got to get at least 8 to 10 points a night out of him. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Agreed.
Because otherwise, and then the turnovers, 16 turnovers against the Cavs, like you've been doing against the Bucks.
That's 25 points.
Yeah, easy. The turnover point is a good one. The Joakim Noah needs to be a more offensive presence. I think is. It depends on the situation. I mean, he's going to get garbage points if he's around the rim a lot, and he's going to get offensive rebounds. But when you look at what happened with the backcourt, Rose and Butler, the offense was running through them. When Joakim Noah was effective offensively, it was because they didn't have Derrick Rose, and the offense had to go through him. And that's when he is at his best. In a perfect world, is Joakim Noah your second option? No. Third option? No. You've got Derrick, Jimmy, and
Paul Gasol. That's why when I said earlier in the year, and you were and Brooke were all over me, that he's not a top 10 player in the league, he's not. I'm talking about Joakim. He's not. He's a good complimentary player.
I don't think I ever said he's a top 10 player. I think he's a top 5 center. Yeah.
I don't know about
Cap, a year ago, he was an all-NBA center.
Yeah, he had a really good year
because
last year.
Forced to play offense more than he was needed this year because he was also healthier.
But if you look around the league now, he's not. And those knees are not going to get any better. It's unfortunate.
Okay, I don't want to get into the offseason discussion yet. I think before you get there, you've got to look at what gives the Bulls an advantage against the Cavs. To me, I think it's their overall depth and also their interior options. They're much better in the paint with different options. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
The one thing you cannot discount, I mean, you can't counter, is that the LeBron James factor. Nobody can. And what does that mean? Well, it means that whoever he has to guard, he'll guard at the key time. Whenever they need a basket, he'll take the ball and try to score. You can't stop him. He's the guy that you is.
He imposes his will.
He has ended too many Bulls seasons. Is he going to do that again?
That's the question. I just don't know if they have enough depth. They have two great players. Kevin Love has not had a great year, hasn't fit there, and I don't think he'll stay there. But they have two great players. Now, if Derrick Rose plays like he played last night, game on.
Who does LeBron James guard with 3 minutes to go in the game, and it's 96-95 Cavs?
How's Rose playing?
Rose has got 20. Jimmy Butler's got 24. Who does
Snelly Cat.
Who does LeBron James guard on the key possession?
Rose.
I don't know.
He did it when he had to before.
That was in Miami. That was the Heatles, okay? This isn't the Heatles. This is the Cavs. I don't know that that's going to be the case. You're going to – what if Jimmy Butler is being the 31-point-per-night guy or the 31-point outburst guy? What if he's – Jimmy Butler's had a very good series.
He has.
And emerge in his – this is his postseason coming out party. I mean, he wasn't this guy before. They never had to worry about him to this degree before. And so if LeBron – what I'm trying to get to is if LeBron is forced to guard Jimmy Butler during key possessions – it gives you Kyrie Irving on Derrick Rose. And you like that matchup, Cap, because Kyrie Irving, as dynamic as he is offensively.
Not the greatest defender in the world.
No. And that's why I would like in that matchup. See, you're saying if you're checking a box, we do it in all newspaper matchups, every series. Irving versus Rose. Edge.
I'm not being a homer. I'm not being a hater. Edge is Kyrie Irving.
Even the way Derrick Rose is playing right now.
Yes. Kyrie Irving is a top 5 point guard in the league. Yes. Could Derek get the best of him? Yes, he could. But if you said you can have one or the other, I'm taking Kyrie Irving.
For this series, you'd take Kyrie Irving over Derek Rose.
Yes, not even a question in my mind. 312-235-2525. Let's grab where you want to go.
Let's go to Michael in Arkansas.
Let's go down to Arkansas. What's going on, Mikey?
Hello, how y'all doing?
Hey, Mike.
Good. What's up, Michael?
How y'all doing this morning?
Good. We're good, buddy.
I was talking about Derrick Rose. He played a wonderful game last night.
He was magnificent.
He was great. And the Kyrie Irving situation, him and Kyrie Irving going up against each other, I honestly believe he did good against all the top tier point guards this year, averaged over 20-some points against the best point guards this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really honestly believe that him and Kyrie Irving is going to be a showdown. I believe that's going to be the determination of that series. LeBron, he is the greatest player on earth right now, but we got a deep bench. We got Snell, we got Butler, we got Mike Dunleavy. We're about to take all three of those guys. We're about to shoot them at them, man. Use all 18 fouls. And go at them. I mean, we can do it. I know we can do it.
Michael, thanks, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
One thing, Cap, how it is something else to consider, and I think that your Kyrie Irving versus Derrick Rose discussion is an interesting one. Derrick Rose tends to get up to play against guys who he seems to have either perceived slights or the edge.
Or they're at his level.
Or he raises his game. John Wall. You know, there's some discussion about last night. Michael Carter Williams got the best of him in Philly, and he remembered that. Kyrie Irving has gotten the best of Derrick Rose at times, and they were teammates on the Team USA. You wonder what the stakes being what they will be, and the stage what, being where, what it will
what
be.
What level Derrick goes to.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That's
hope
exciting right. to consider, isn't it?
It is. 312-235-2525. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back.
Vincent Goodwill
will join us from Comcast SportsNet. Hey, when's the last time you bought yourself a new pillow or the wife bought one for you? If you don't have a MyPillow, then you don't have the guaranteed most comfortable pillow out there. Time for you to get a MyPillow. My wife Mindy bought one for us. Phenomenal. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. I've been praising this product for a long time, way before they ever started advertising. MyPillow comes in 4 sport levels, conforming to your preferred shape. They even create a cooling effect throughout the night, keeping your head cool and comfortable. See why they've sold over 5 million. On top of a 10-year warranty, MyPillow is so confident you're going to love it, they'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Sleep on it. If you're not happy, they refund 100% of your purchase price. But trust me, you'll love it. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products. Use the promo code CAP. Log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CAP, K-A-P. Call 800-299-5854, 800-299-5854. Use the promo code CAP, 50% off. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Derek's starting to pick up speed, so that's a good sign. Jimmy was terrific. You know, Powell made big plays. Thought Tony gave us a good lift off the bench. I thought Mike and the run in the second quarter really got us going. He got us out of that hole. And I thought Derek made a lot of good plays to find him. So that was big. And then the rebounding, you know, I thought Taj in the second half was strong, and we needed that.
It's our guy Thibs talking about his ball club, who came back and won in double overtime last night, nearly frittered away the lead late. They were up 94-86, but found a way to get it done.
You know the Bulls have played well when it takes Tom Thibodeau that long to get through his post-game comments, because he tends to name everybody that contributed.
He did.
And the Bulls, when they play that well and win, have a lot of guys that contribute.
It's Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Vincent Goodwill does great work for Comcast Sportsnet as their Bulls insider. He was there in Milwaukee last night, joins us now. Vincent, good morning. Your takeaway from last night, Derrick Rose was magnificent, but I was concerned to blow a 94-86 lead late. That was a little disconcerting. What was your takeaway?
My takeaway might be a little different than yours. I think that that was good for the Bulls to make all the mistakes that they made, to fall behind early, to even lose that lead late in regulation in the manner that they lost it, because they lost it rather quickly. I think that's good. I think that's very good for them for the next round. You know, you still have a team that's learning how to play together, you know, with those top five or six guys, which means you don't necessarily know how to close games. And it's good that you can learn a lesson like that playing against the likes of the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, a team that's young and figuring it out and don't exactly know what they're doing, as opposed to losing an 8-point lead 2 weeks from now in a game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, because every game in that series is going to be crucial. So I think every lesson that they learned last night from having to absorb that emotional avalanche early, to having to weather it and sort of taking over the game and then taking their foot off the pedal, I think those are lessons that you can learn in the victory. And it can help them in the next round, because they can't afford to make those types of mistakes against Cleveland.
I think that's a great observation, Vincent. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're exactly right, because moving forward, you step up in class and you're gonna encounter more adversity than certainly you've seen in this series. I wanted to ask you about your impressions, obviously, of Derrick Rose, 34 points in 48 minutes. And I think throughout this series, the one thing that has been consistent, and maybe this is just somebody who hasn't been at every game but just watching from afar, but the ones I've have been at, Derrick Rose played with a lot more emotion than I think that's been more obvious now than it has been in the past. And I know you haven't been here for his entire career, but I just wondered, do you think that there's a connection between his improvement in play and effectiveness, especially late and in the postseason this series, and the level of freedom or the motion that he's showing? It seems like he's more free. It seems like he's more expressive. He just seems a little bit like a different guy.
I think what happens in these situations, that's a great observation about his emotion. And you're right, I haven't been here for his entire career. But I think when you miss damn near 3 years, I think it provides a sense of perspective that you wouldn't have otherwise. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Michael Jordan won his first title at 27, I believe. Isaiah Thomas was around that same age. You know, guys start to understand their basketball mortality at around this time. And whether it's due to not having won championships yet or injuries in Derrick Rose's case, you realize that you have to max out at every opportunity, especially with everything that's sort of evolving around the Bulls right now, you know, with Tibbs and the front office, and, you know, it's just their best chance. I mean, I don't think he's blind to that. And I don't think he's blind to the fact that he knows how important his play is. So at least from his standpoint, if I'm playing well, not only do we have a great chance of winning, but however this season or these playoffs shake out, I don't have to live with regrets. And I think that's where he's sitting from now. I think it's a joy, and I think it's a little bit of relief as well.
We're talking to Vincent Goodwill from Comcast Sportsnet. Watching the game last night, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever the Greek freak, the hell his name is, he was magnificent in the first half. He had 17 points. He had those spidery arms blocking shots. What did the Bulls do to slow him, A, in the second half? And what was your thought on how they handled Pau Gasol? Because down the stretch, they beat on him pretty good.
Well, this is where I necessarily won't give the Bulls a whole lot of credit here. I just think the kid slowed down. I think he ran so hot off emotion in that first half, you know, going end to end and using up so much energy and feeding off the crowd and feeding off the moment. I just think he was empty in the second round. I think he played the first 15, 16 minutes, and that's where he did most of his damage. And, you know, when you use that much energy early and you don't know necessarily how to ration it out or whatever, I think you have something like you had last night where he missed a lot of close-in layups and things like that. I think Jason Kidd, you know, understood exactly what he was seeing. And I think Giannis, you know, going forward, he's going to be a thorn in the Bulls' side for years to come. You know, this series is going to be over in the next few days, but I think Giannis is going to be a huge thorn in the next few years. And as for Powell, you always have to worry about the physical play wearing him down. That's basically been the book on him since the 2008 finals when Boston beat him up. But I think Tibbs is doing a good thing by not forcing him the ball and playing right into the Bucks' hands. And other teams won't treat Powell like this, or the Cavs, I don't believe. They won't treat Powell like this. So I think once that happens, I think Powell's also finding new ways to contribute, new ways to score. He still had 17 and 14 last night, and I can't remember a single clean look that he got last night that wasn't a jump shot. So I just think it shows you the diversity of the Bulls' offense, and I think it shows you how smart Powell is to not force the action, and Tibbs as well.
Vincent, when you look at Tony Snell's game last night, he hit a couple big shots in the fourth quarter, 16 points. Needs to be stronger on the ball, of course. I think he can't afford those careless turnovers in games that matter and when the stakes are increased. And yet his progress to this point is encouraging. But when you look ahead to the next series, which is really what all Bulls fans have been looking toward for a long time, how does Tony Snell translate against a Cavalier team? And do you think that it's only as a defensive presence and maybe a guy to spell Jimmy Butler at times for possessions against LeBron? Is it a spot shooter? Or what is his role? What will it be going forward?
The more I see Tony Snell, the more I want to see. I like the kid. I think he's absolutely fearless. And I think that's something that you need when you're going against Cleveland next round. You're going to have basically all the league's attention. And you're going to go against two of the most diverse perimeter guys, not necessarily LeBron, because I don't think he's big enough up top to play LeBron. But I think he's quick enough to stay with Kyrie Irving, and I think he's long enough and tall enough to give J.R. Smith problems. So if you put him on the floor with Jimmy Butler, you know, I don't think it's necessarily an either-or proposition. I think you could play those three guys together when Dunleavy sits. You know, I think he's a better matchup for Cleveland than Kirk Heinrich. And as you can see, when he gets open shots, he's not hesitating. You know, he's not taking his time. He's not thinking. He's playing. And I think when you need a fearless guy who basically, for lack of a better phrase, he has no chill. and I say that affectionately about him. You know, you need someone like that who's young and who's hungry and who's basically looking at the opponent and trying to take it from him. And I think this Bulls team needs as much of that as possible.
Hey, before we let you go, so what's your day like? You got to kill a day in Milwaukee, right? You're up there.
You want me to lie or tell the truth?
Tell the truth, baby. Tell the truth.
I am going to ask. No. I'm going to Bucks practice to talk to Jason Kidd and going to Bulls practice. And after that, I'll probably be holed up in my hotel room watching TV. There is absolutely nothing to do in this town. Nada.
Do you like chili?
I do, but my stomach doesn't.
All right. There's a great spot called Real Chili. Real okay. Chili. But might not agree with your stomach. I don't know.
Hey, the Bulls played the last minute and a half, didn't agree with my stomach either.
Yeah, no question about it. Vincent, thank you for the knowledge. We'll look forward to talking to you later.
Keep up the good work.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
See ya. There he is, Vincent Goodwill from Comcast Sports.
Really good stuff. Really good really insight good. On this
and
team.
And he's a really good dude. You can tell he's an experienced NBA guy.
He knows
guy.
What he's watching. He came from covered the Pistons for the Detroit News, I believe. Mm-hmm. He understands the game. He knows how to communicate it in digestible bits. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a clarity in the way that he explains things. And I like his take on Derrick Rose. I think it's very interesting to get his perspective as somebody who hasn't been here since day one.
I like there's absolutely nothing to do in this town. We're going to shift to the White Sox because it got ugly last night. Jeff Samardzija getting a lot of grief this morning. Article in the Tribune saying he's getting highly criticized for his actions last night.
Yeah,
in the fight.
We want to talk about
we'll
all
get
the
into all that of that. Get your thoughts. 312-235-2525. White Sox talk straight ahead. It's Cap and Haw.